All right, we are here for kind of a repeat with, well, I guess I should call you Reverend here. We're in St. John's Anglican Church.
Okay.
Reverend or Right Worship Brother Gordon Maitland. I had you on the podcast before. Unfortunately, I wasn't a big fan of the audio quality of it. I was just getting used to Zoom and all that.
Yeah.
So I got you back, and it's great to talk to you again because you have. You shared a lot of wisdom and knowledge about your Masonic journey and about Masonry in our last episode with you, so I'm happy to have you back to discuss it more. But first, just a quick mention. We are here at St. John's Anglican Church,
Yep.
an absolutely gorgeous church and such an important part of our history and Masonic history.
Yes.
Tell us what's happening here and how you guys are getting ready to reopen.
Well, we're opening September 13th, and that was mandated by the bishop, so we didn't have a say in that. It's usual preparations. So we're going to actually arrows on the floor, so you come down one aisle and go out other aisles. We're going to have sanitation stations at each door. We're going to have to track who's there attendance-wise, so they can do contact tracing later. So there's a whole bunch of protocols that have been given to us, and we'll be following them and putting them in place. But otherwise, people are excited to come and see their friends. And just like in Masonry, people are keen to get back. They miss the fellowship. They miss the community. They want to be back. I don't know when that will be, but
Knock on wood soon. I know that Grand Lodge is acting with a preponderance of caution, which is a good thing that they
Yes,
obviously
it is.
recognize. And our Grand Master, Most Worshipful David Cameron, is a doctor, so I know that he's taking the health and safety of all of our membership to heart.
Absolutely.
But I'm sure that this building is just such an important part of so many people's lives. I'm sure they can't wait to come back to St. John's.
Yes, it's true. I was just speaking to a guy yesterday on the phone, and he is very keen to be back here, so.
And switching gears a little bit to Masonry, even
Yep.
though we are still waiting to see when we will when our Masonic meetings will resume, Masonic activities, I think there's some confusion amongst Masons. Part of it is because we hear a lot of things in the States where they're reopening and different states have different
Right.
requirements about masks and just because Masonic meetings are suspended, that doesn't necessarily mean Masonic activity is suspended.
Absolutely.
And you, as Worshipful Master of Rose Lodge, can talk about some of the ways that Rose Lodge is, maintaining its Masonic activities, summonses, things like that.
Right. So we are still, and have since March, we still have been sending out our summons every month as we would regularly, with a bit of Masonic education, a message from me to, basically say, stay safe and stay the course and that kind of thing. A bit of a edifying rah-rah thing, but we want to keep our spirits up. We want to keep the membership happy, and we want to give some hope, obviously, for the future. So, and people are maintaining contacts with phone, email, Zoom. We haven't done a Zoom thing ourselves, but some lodges have, and I know people are working at that. I'm not a big Zoom fan anymore because through church stuff, I'm kind of zoomed out, but
And
it's
certainly,
useful.
it is. Yeah, I agree. I'm not a huge fan of it, but it has come in handy even for these podcasts, getting
Absolutely.
to interview people. And certainly, this is something you're involved with through Scottish Rite, but our Almoner's Fund or benevolence funds for the lodges and even for Grand Lodge,
Right.
they're still answering the phones there or returning messages. And
They are.
so, brethren can still take advantage of Masonic fellowship, even though it's not
Right.
the way we'd like it to be.
And of course, we're Masons every day, right? So even if we're not meeting in our behavior, we still act as Masons, as our ritual and our degrees tell us. So how we behave towards others is still part of our Masonic living out, right? So even wearing a mask in a store, right? You're protecting others. That's a Masonic attitude. I'm going to protect others, even if I'm a little bit uncomfortable doing so. And so, yeah, I think Masonic values still come to bear on our ongoing lives.
I agree 100%. And one Masonic value I wanted to talk with you about, because I think that you would be kind of one of the perfect person to discuss this in lieu of your position and our location here at St. John's Church with the cemetery located. It seems like a weird value to discuss, but I do think it's an important Masonic value, is kind of a serious contemplation of our mortality. There's a gentleman, and if he's, I'm going to send this to him, so I hope he will contact me, a social psychologist named Sheldon Solomon, who's talked about this much, and we talked about it, who talked about how our knowledge and understanding of our mortality affects human behavior, and how it can affect it in a positive way or a negative way, depending on whether we choose to push aside or kind of ignore,
right,
the knowledge of our own mortality, or whether we choose to seriously examine and contemplate it. And I've heard you give several lectures on this topic, and certainly our degree work in mm-hmm. the third degree deals with this issue a lot.
Yeah.
And you had a lot of really interesting points about, from a Masonic perspective, how knowledge of our mortality is important to achieving kind of our fullest goals as a Mason and as a man. Yeah. So would you care to expand on that?
Sure, absolutely. There's a reason the third degree is about mortality and our own mortality. And I think that when you keep your own mortality in view, I don't mean in a morbid sense, but when you're aware of your mortality, you're aware that the only way to continue your values is to pass them on to another generation, so that we receive from our Masonic brethren of the past certain values and certain things that we want to live out. And the only way that can keep going is if that's passed to younger generations. And being aware of your mortality says, yeah, I'm not going to live forever. The only way that our benefiting humanity is going to continue is if younger Masons come up and carry that forward. And if you're willfully ignoring your mortality, then perhaps you're being a bit selfish, you know, sort of saying, well, I don't care, when I die, who cares? But that's not the attitude we should have as Masons. We should have, I like to call it, an eternal perspective. So the long-term perspective is, yes, I'm only here a short while, but Masonry, which is described as the universal benefactor of mankind, it can only be that if younger generations are taking up the tools and taking up what we pass on to make that a reality.
And the quiet contemplation of it, I think, is something Masonry offers. It's very easy, I think, especially perhaps in modern times, to be reminded of our own mortality. I mean, the news alone is pretty good at reminding us that people sooner or later, unfortunately, sometimes in tragic circumstances, will pass away. But
right,
because information comes so fast now from so many different sources, and mm-hmm. you have social media, which bombards us, it seems like even though, you know, we're constantly being reminded of these tragedies and death and things like that, we don't really take time to quietly contemplate them or think about them in a serious way. It's just another story. And I think one thing Masonry has to offer, and certainly I think you in your lectures, you offer this because of the way you deliver lectures. You deliver them very well and so calmly and eloquently, and you really take the time to let each message sink in. I think one thing Masonry has to offer is the chance to quietly contemplate some of these things. Same thing perhaps with church, offers it the same. So yeah, it's just, how important do you think it is, that aspect of Masonry, kind of the quiet contemplative side of it, not having, being bombarded by social media, but thinking about right. things in a more thoughtful, kind of serious way?
I think, well, in the first degree of Masonry, you're asked to make a daily advancement in Masonic knowledge. And I think what that means in the broad sense isn't that every day you go online to find out some trivial fact. What that means is that you are doing this reflecting that you're talking about. You're doing this self-reflecting and contemplation daily, because that's forming your mind and your perspective and how you view the universe. So I think that contemplation you're talking about is encouraged. That's part of our daily advancement in Masonic knowledge.
What type of, to switch to tracks a little bit, what type of plans do you have for your Masonic career, or even for Rose Lodge, once we are able to meet again, whether it is in November or 2021? Have you been thinking about plans for your lodge? I'm assuming your officers will be staying put for an extra year. I think that seems to be the standard.
Yeah, I would assume so.
That seems to be the standard. We're not, I mean, every lodge is trying to figure that one out right now. But when you come back, just what type of thoughts, or just in general, what type of thoughts have you had about the craft moving forward?
Right.
Whether it be dealing with COVID-19 and its after effects or not, have you thought about what you'd like to see in Rose Lodge or Masonry in general?
Well, one thing that immediately affects us is we had a candidate lined up for initiation in, I think it was April. And, you know, we have to keep telling the poor guy, I hope he's still there. You know, we have to keep putting his initiation off. And that's been a concern for me. I don't want to lose this guy because, you know, so far he's been understanding, but you lose that momentum and people say, well, you know, I've had second thoughts, forget it. And so that's immediately in mind. I think we'll probably have to have a few meetings just to run through our opening closings. We'll all be pretty rusty after months away, right? Thinking, oh yeah, what's the next line I'm supposed to say? So getting back in those routines is going to be the first concern. Getting our work back up and getting ready so we can initiate our candidate. And I think beyond that is getting in touch with those Masons who have been not in touch for a long time. You know, it may be a year before, you know, it may be next March before we're back, and our brethren in nursing homes or shut-ins, you know, they haven't heard a message perhaps or whatever, and we need to reconnect with them just because we're out of the habit.
Yeah, those, like you said, it's like sports or anything. It's
sure.
if you can, like I'm sure many brethren, myself included, I try to take every week a quick glance through my ritual book there's a difference between reading it yourself and actually performing it in a lodge room. There's only so much you can do before you either have to practice with other people or you lose that cadence and the rhythm.
So I think getting that back, we'll need a few meetings just to get that back. So we're all now all comfortable. It's all second nature again. And we're up to standard, so to speak.
I do want to switch back to something you said earlier, because that it was so important. And, you know, you talked about kind of, there's so many with trying to be safe. It seems like there's so many kind of little inconveniences that exist nowadays, whether it's trying to pay attention to which arrows are in the stores so you don't, wearing a mask, which I'm not a fan, you know, I don't particularly enjoy wearing a mask myself, or remembering not to shake hands or sanitizing your hands. It seems like there's so many just little inconveniences that have been piled on, but I really like what you talked about, which is the Masonic perspective, which is, you know, these are inconveniences that are designed to keep people safe, both ourselves and others. So just I think that's a really good attitude to take. And if you could just discuss that a little bit more, kind of the Masonic approach, you as, you know, a worshipful master, as a right worshipful, right. Kind of what is the Masonic approach to take to kind of the annoyances that we're currently dealing with day to day?
Yeah, and well, first, acknowledge they are inconveniences. Let's face it. Wearing a mask in a store for 40 minutes while shopping is not exactly a pleasant thing. But as Masons, our ritual constantly says to us things like, there's no greatness without effort or whatever. And I think that those values are true. So you say, yes, wearing a mask is inconvenient and uncomfortable. Absolutely. But the point of wearing a mask is to protect others. The point of washing your hands is not to protect yourself, although you do, but protect others. So, okay, these are inconveniences, but as a Mason, you're thinking about humanity as a whole. You're not a selfish person, or shouldn't be a selfish person. So you say to yourself, yeah, these are inconveniences, but for the greater good of society, I will put up with them. Because let's face it, it's not life and death hardship. It's not like you're in the middle of a desert and can't get any water or something. So I think as Masons, we say that's part of the daily sacrifices we make for the advancement of the good, the greater good. And I think those are the values we as Masons should live out every day.
I agree 100%. Do you, do you feel concerned at all, or just outside of Masonry, just in general, when you tend to see, but it's you know, to put this, it's so hard to tell how much of this exists in the real world and how much of this exists on social media and is not. Right. But when you see things like, people say masks are part of a conspiracy, or
right.
Maskless shopping, or it seems like that is just growing all the time. These kind of, you can't tell me what to do type of attitudes, which heaven knows I have been known to take that attitude many occasions, but I try not to all the time. I guess, where do you think that attitude is coming from? Do you think it has to do with kind of people feeling less connected to each other? And do you think Masonry could be one thing, people not recognizing that? Like you said, you don't wear a mask or wash your hands for yourself, you do it for others. But if you maybe don't feel connected to others,
right,
you're not going to make that connection. And that's something I think Masonry and churches, right, mosques, synagogues can help with, is reminding us we are connected and it's not just about you and your how you feel.
I think you're right. I think isolation breeds a kind of selfishness. Like you go into a kind of survival mode, I gotta save myself or whatever. And so you lose a bit of perspective on, you know, I want my right to not wear a mask. Well, when you're in community, you sort of reassess and say, okay, hold on. It's, you know, there's a bigger picture here. But I also think it's important for us as Masons to say, Masons are not opposed to science. I mean, in fact, Masonry played a part in scientific knowledge being acceptable in society. If you go back to the 16th, 17th century origins of Masonry. So it seems to me as Masons, we look at what is the science. And if the science says it is better to wear a mask, or it is better to wash your hands, it is better to get vaccinated, then as Masons, we say, I trust the science because it is scientifically based. And therefore, I will get vaccinated and I will wear a mask and I will do these things. I think to be anti-science, like the anti-vaxxers and people like that, that goes against Masonic values. How often does Masonry talk about being opposed to superstition? And conspiracy theories, I think, are a form of superstition, and we're opposed to that.
I've been really fascinated by that idea of the science lately, because we're one thing that we see with social media and with, like, you can contact anybody. So there's always going to be there's always going to be like an outlier somewhere. So nine scientists will say one thing and the 10th will say another thing.
Yeah.
My view on it has always been, I recognize the areas where I have competence and where I don't. So in cases like that, it's important that from my perspective, you just, I'm not smart enough to know, to be able to judge properly, like a doctor's, if one doctor is saying X and the others are saying Y, I might not be smart enough to recognize, okay, what makes a doctor correct? What are his professional qualifications? Why has he been removed from his position before? Right. So I think sometimes it's almost like an information overload.
Right.
Sometimes it's best to, if there's somebody in charge, they got there for a reason, presumably because they're qualified to have gotten there. So you just,
we'll
you
hope
know,
so.
You just kind of, I think there's it's just maybe a level of arrogance sometimes where you seek out the opinion that you want to back up what you think, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Because we're noticing that a lot lately. When people talk about fond of science, they'll cite some obscure study and ignore the other. Same.
Sure.
The earth is flat or stuff like that.
Yeah, and obviously we're not sheep. We have a brain. So some discrimination needs to take place, right? Not all science is unanimous. Yes, there is back and forth. And we've seen some of that with the COVID, right? Yeah. One moment, masks, don't worry about it. The next moment, oh yeah, they're essential. So the science changes, fair enough. But don't just dismiss it out of hand, right? Take it seriously, discriminate, but you don't start with the attitude of all scientists are full of BS and therefore I'm not going to listen to any science. Like that's not a thinking attitude either.
I agree. Just it's one thing to blindly follow, but to blindly dismiss can be just as dangerous.
Exactly.
Have you seen the masks on social media with the square and compass and the Masonic symbols? Because those are brethren, which I think is pretty cool.
Oh, the people, the entrepreneurs that are now making money off masks is incredible. And of course, I have kids at university. So every university now, instead of a sweatshirt or t-shirt, they're branding on the mask, right?
I think it's genius.
Smart idea. The manufacturers of church vestments and hangings, they're all out now with masks for clergy in different liturgical colors. So, entrepreneurs everywhere are taking advantage of this. And quite frankly, if Masons want to put a square and compass on a mask, I think that's good.
I think it's terrific.
Yeah.
And it goes to, it kind of advertises, like you were saying, right, that, a young Mason wearing a mask in a store is probably not wearing that mask for himself. He's probably wearing it in case he's asymptomatic and doesn't want to pass it on to the workers there or an older customer. So it's just, like you said, it's a thing that Masons care about, the health and safety of those around them and are willing to sacrifice. But if you can do so well promoting the craft, all the better.
Yeah, absolutely.
How is, actually, that's it. I just thought, and you mentioned churches and the, creating the masks and the vestments and stuff. How is communion going to work for you guys?
It's going to be a challenge. So in one kind only. So we're not going to have the common cup shared. So they'll receive the host, the bread only. And we can't have people sort of side by side doing that. They'll have to come individually down the center aisle, go back the side aisles. So it's all been thought through. It's possible. It'll just be done in a little slower, more inconvenient way.
But like we talked about, right? It's inconvenience, but with the purpose of keeping everyone safe.
Absolutely.
How much conversation have you had with other church leaders, with other faith group leaders? Have you been talking with, the mosque or with the other churches? And kind of keeping up with how everybody's doing and getting themselves organized?
More in-house. So as Anglicans, there's constant, we've had Zoom meetings to end all Zoom meetings, But it is about connecting and saying, is everyone okay? Are you doing okay? My wife's the archdeacon. So she's the local leader, and she has people, she checks in on people and has them check in on her just to make sure everyone's good. And, you know, there's a few people who have had to be told, you need a break. You're working hard. You know what? You need a week off, okay? It's good. And so, and the leadership from, which for us is in London, they check in too and see how everyone's doing. So there's been a lot of that. Denominationally, like cross-denominationally, a little bit. You know, how's the local United Church minister doing or whatever? Not as extensively, but some of that's been going on too.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for,
taking
the time to talk to me again. Hopefully this time
the
audio is a bit
better.
Is there anything, I know last interview, this was all just starting. It was in March. And you were kind enough to leave us with a prayer, wishing everybody well and to keep everybody as safe as possible during, at that time we had no idea how long it was going to be. And I guess we still don't in a way, but it seems like there's something at the end of the tunnel. I don't know if you want to leave us with another brief prayer.
Sure.
Another brief.
I would be happy to do that. Gracious architect of the universe and loving God, we ask you to keep us safe, to ever make us mindful of others and their needs, and just continue your blessings on us and on the craft, that we may continue to do you honor and glory and to benefit one another. And we ask all this for your holy name's sake. Amen.
Amen. And I will hit...